morning. Welcome to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins. October is here, October 2nd. The weather is drier, most definitely. It's a little cooler, but not by much. I had to take my sweat jacket off. It's just too hot here in the studio. But it is Halloween time. Halloween is in the air. Good morning, Lizzie. How are you this morning?
I'm doing good. I appreciate it. I did receive the coolest book in the world from your friend Carol. She sent a book so we could put it in our library that I work at, and I love it. It was The Christmas Bunny.
The Christmas Bunny. It is such an excellent book.
What I love about it is that people don't think about what do the elves eat? What does Santa eat? They don't just eat candy and whatnot. They eat vegetables, and who grows them? The Christmas Bunny.
It's a great story. Like I said, I'm really pushing it. Somebody out there is listening. It needs to become a Christmas classic cartoon. So, yeah, I'm so glad you got that. There's also, too, fall color in the air, too, as well. The golden rain tree is called a Colruteria raria. Let's try that again. Colruteria paniculata, easier known as the golden rain tree. It is blooming. We had one in our backyard in Winter Haven, and it was just gorgeous. It's a species of flowering tree from Eastern Asia. It was introduced to America in 1763. Right now, you're going to see the vibrant yellow flowers that are going to develop deep mauve bracts with black seeds in them. Today, I'm not as much of a fan of them because I know they can be invasive in certain communities, but, you know, ecosystems. But they are stunning and bring back such wonderful memories of playing in the backyard. The other plant that's starting to flaunt its plumage is muley grass. And the pink feathery flowers are starting to emerge. And in about a month, the ornamental grasses will have a full fan of pink feathery flowers. It's known scientifically as the Muehlenbergia capillaris. That's a mouthful this morning. And this easy-to-grow native, which is wonderful, is an ornamental grass that produces clumps about 2 to 3 feet tall and up to 3 feet wide when it's mature. So right now you're going to start to see the muley grass starting to send up its feathery shoots, and it is going to be gorgeous. They love full sun. Muley grass can be grown throughout Florida and is often used in borders and in mass plantings. Has a drift-like effect, and it really takes the wind nicely. So if you have a side yard or a border yard, a little area that you would like to just have some grasses growing in, muley grass is the key because it's blooming in the fall. They should be spaced about 24 to 36 inches apart. And like most ornamental grasses, and this is one of my pet peeves, is that in June, I still see the dead grass from the winter before. So it's kind of like having, you know, dyed hair and you just don't get those roots done and it just looks bad after a while. Well, muley grass and ornamental grasses should be cut back in January and February. I'm going to remind you of that. And so coming up on Halloween night, the great pumpkin rises out of the pumpkin patch. He flies through the air and he brings toys to all the good little children everywhere. Would you like to sit with me in a pumpkin patch on Halloween night and wait for the great pumpkin? Well, that's so familiar to all of us with great pumpkin, Charlie Brown. Well, coming up, Ed Thralls is joining us. He is so good to hang around and help us with our fall gardens. I have to tell you why he's a free man. Have you ever tried to grow pumpkins and they didn't survive? Is it the right time to be planting pumpkins? Well, Ed's going to give us his best tips on growing pumpkins. You don't want to miss it. Also, in the second hour, we have my dear friend and great garden communicator, Jo Ellen Meyer-Sharp. She's going to be joining us to help you with planning and taking care of your fall containers. She was with us in the spring, and she gave us such great tips about springtime gardening and what to use in them. She is going to tell us how to grow beautiful container gardens. So that's Jo Ellen Meyer-Sharp. She's going to be in the second hour. We're also taking your gardening questions. You can call 1-888-455-2967, or you can text me at 23680. I want you to be part of Better Lawns and Gardens. And so also, too, I want to let everyone know that the Polk County Extension in Bartow, Florida, at the Polk County Agricultural Center, next Saturday from 8 a.m. to 1 p.m. is going to have their Garden Fest 2021. So from beautiful plants to a day of fun and learning, Garden Fest 2021 is going to have such great plants for sale. They're going to have hundreds of plants that have been propagated by the master gardeners. The sale is going to include native and Florida-friendly plants, succulents, orchids, and edibles, plants that are easy to grow and they attract butterflies and other wildlife. They're going to have several programs, Know and Grow, on worm farming. That's going to be pretty cool. And then also sustainable Florida-friendly gardening, pollinator gardening, and how to grow food. They're also going to have a few projects, make and take. They're going to make pollinator houses, miniature fairy dish gardens. How cool is that? And then Kokidama. I have got to get someone on to talk to us about Kokidama. That's going to be a lot of fun. If you don't know what it is, look it up. Kokidama, K-O-K-E-D-A-M-A. And that projects are going to cost $15. But they're also going to be giving demonstration garden tours. And also they're going to have Ask the Experts, which you can do today. You can call me. They'll give free pH soil testing. They're going to sell rain barrels for $45. So if you'd like more information, you can call the Polk County Extension Office at 863-519-1041. That's next Saturday, October 9th from 8 to 1 p.m. So Ed Thralls joins us next. He is going to update us on gardening adventures and where to find a great pumpkin patch. You want to stay tuned? I've already got calls on the line. So stay tuned. I'm Teresa Watkins. You're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens, and this is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network. Good morning and welcome back to Better Lawns and Gardens. And I have a dear friend, a wonderful, wonderful, knowledgeable extension agent. And he is with us this morning. He has great news. He is a free man. Good morning, Ed. How are you this morning?
Good morning, Teresa. I'm doing quite well. And I've entered into retirement, as you know. So that's kind of neat.
You had a busy week then with all the partying and everybody saying goodbye?
Oh, yes. There were probably, I would guess, over 100 people at the retirement reception. And I didn't realize I had done so many things for so many people. It made me really feel good. But it also gave me an opportunity to reflect on the past 15 years as an extension agent. And I'm really going to miss it.
Yeah, I know you are. And I don't think it's probably even sunk in yet, has it?
No, not at all.
There you go. You're going to Monday morning, you're going to wake up and go, nope, I can turn the alarm clock off.
Exactly.
So I am, you know, I feel like playing the Cops theme song, just the first line, what you going to do, what you going to do? And not that you're a bad boy, but what are you going to do now?
Well, I'm going to take a nap.
I'm with you there.
And I got to catch up on my own lawn and landscape maintenance that I've been putting off with going to work every day. So now I have time to do that.
Wonderful. Now, fall gardens, you know, we're all talking about fall across the country, but not a lot has changed with our weather, though, except for the rain. What is going to change for us here in Florida?
Well, in Florida, we don't have fall gardens, first of all. We have warm season and cool season gardens, so we can get that out of our mind. But at the end of this month, we start our cool season vegetable garden, and it lasts almost 5 months. And it's when we plant all of our leafy vegetables, our root vegetables, onions, strawberries, and the cabbage family of vegetables. So a lot's going to change in the garden by the end of the month.
I think so, too. So, pumpkins, what can be growing right now? Should we be planting pumpkins?
No, not really. It's if we wanted to plant pumpkins, we should have done it earlier. We're already a month or so past the beginning of the warm season garden, so We can start seedling of transplants for the cool season garden, and there's still time to plant out more beans and squash if you want. They'll make it, but it's probably too late to start tomatoes and peppers right now.
Yeah, because it's still going to produce, though. I mean, should somebody be pulling them out or just let them go?
Let them go. We may have another one of these unusually warm winters, and you might be able to push them right through for another month or so. But typically, we're finished with our warm season garden by the second week of December.
So I just want, because everybody's thinking about pumpkins now, and for those people who would like to do it next year, I'd like to give them a heads up on what they need to do so that they can be ready. So, when should pumpkins be planted?
Pumpkins should be planted March is a good time to think about it, and again in late August. But it takes almost 4 months to get a pumpkin to a harvest size. That's one of the big issues. And our summer times, we have the rainy season, and those big leaves just love to hold on to moisture all afternoon, evening, and you'll have a lot of disease problems with it. But if you want a pumpkin to have for Halloween, July is the time that you want to plant that pumpkin.
Okay, so everybody needs to mark their calendar, and if they get my newsletter, I'll let them know, go ahead and start looking for seeds and buy them. So now watering is a priority for fruit and vegetables. How much water do pumpkins need?
Pumpkins are like squashes. They're in the same family, and so they need about the same amount of water that squashes do, and that's about 1 inch of water per week, or about a half a gallon of water per square foot. So if you've got a 100-square-foot garden, you need about 60 gallons of water per week, and if Mother Nature gives it to you, you don't have to add any additional water.
That's great. So now what do you fertilize your pumpkins with?
Pumpkins have a lot of green material, a lot of leaves, a lot of vines, and so I amend the soil with compost, and that's a little bit of nutrition for them, but I also use a fertilizer that's lower in nitrogen than I typically use in a vegetable garden. I use something like a 5-10-10 analysis, and that keeps the pumpkins from staying in a juvenile state, growing all that green material, and helps push along the pumpkins themselves.
It tells them what to do. That's important. So pollination, do pumpkins need it?
Oh, yeah. They're like squashes, and they have both male and female flowers on the same plant. So look for the pollinators, and if you don't have enough, add a few native flowering plants near the garden, and that'll help get the pollinators in. But because they're such large flowers, they're very easy for you to pick up by hand and hand pollinate them. Be aware, though, that usually the male flowers show up first, and you think you're never going to see a pumpkin. Eventually, you'll see the female flower, and it usually has a small pumpkin right at the base of the flower.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so that's the way to tell. It's a really easy way to tell. That's wonderful. So now, for pumpkins, how long does it take to grow them? When should they be harvesting them? Right now?
If you started them back in March, you could probably be harvesting them now. If you started them in August, you could probably have them ready by the end of November. But in July, if you start them, they'll be smaller plants. They won't set fruit for a while. If you can get them through the rainy season, they'll be right on time for Thanksgiving and for Halloween.
What's your favorite kind of pumpkin for Florida?
The favorite one I like is the Seminole pumpkin. It's well adapted to our hot summers and also well adapted to our rain season.
Wow, that's great. Thank you, Ed, so much for coming on this morning. Congratulations on your retirement and for your service to the state of Florida. You have helped so many people, and it's just an honor to know you. And hopefully you'll stay in the habit of coming on Better Lawns and Gardens and helping us out, too.
I look forward to that, and I really am pleased that you asked me to come back. It's great talking with you. And the program.
Well, you're cheaper
right
now
on.
That you're retired, right?
Oh, absolutely. Like Tom used to say, when you become an emeritus status, you do the same job without the pay.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it. Thank you, Ed, for coming on. That's Ed Thralls. He's Extension Agent Emeritus this morning, and he's waking up to that, and Monday morning he gets to sleep in, so we thank him for coming. Let's go to Lori in St. Cloud, and she has a question for us. Good morning, Lori. How can I help you?
Hey, good morning. Yeah, I just transplanted a large Washingtonian palm, and a ponytail palm mm-hmm. that were too close to my house. And I've been watering them twice a day. And I was wondering, they've been planted, transplanted, not even a week. When should I fertilize them? Any special care?
Okay. So here's my kind of tip on fertilizing plants, okay, because they don't need to necessarily be fertilized unless you put some slow-release fertilizer in the hole when you plant it, but it's not necessary. When you see new growth, that's when you can go ahead and fertilize. All right. So okay. I would just wait. You're probably going to see something coming up probably within the next 2 to 3 weeks, and then you can go ahead and fertilize. I wouldn't fertilize much after November, though.
One more question, if uh-huh. I may. I had an avocado tree that started from seed, mm-hmm. and it finally fruited last year or 2 years, and mm-hmm. it had a pretty good crop. And then this year there was nothing to speak of. Mm-hmm. And the tree's getting really large. I'd like to keep it smaller. Mm-hmm. And why would it not fruit maybe the second year?
Okay, how long has it been in the ground?
It was about 8 years.
Okay.
And then I got a ton of them, and then this year, maybe like six.
It wore itself out. How often are you fertilizing?
Three times a year with the citrus avocado fertilizer.
Okay, and you're putting down the amount it tells you to, so you're following the label.
Yes.
Okay, super.
Yes.
Well, I'm just going to tell you, fruit trees, especially new ones, and I consider your seed, not grafted avocado tree, a new tree, kind of like they just did their best last year, and they're just going to take a break this year. So keep fertilizing on a regular basis, and you should get a good harvest next year. Sometimes they skip a year.
How much can I take off of it, height-wise?
How tall is it now?
It's probably about 15 feet.
Okay, you can take it down. I would take it down 3 to 5 feet. And then, you know, if you want to, then next year, cut it down again another 2 to 3 feet if you want to keep it around 7-8 feet tall.
Awesome.
Okay?
Thank you.
You're welcome, Lori.
Right,
thank you for calling. Well, you're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens. Now it's your turn to get your questions answered. You can call me at 1-888-45-LAWNS or text me at 23680. And that will be good. Lori got the ball started rolling, and I do appreciate it. I do have some great news coming up. Last week we talked about our Brandywine tour, and it is that's really going to be June 2022, and I have some important news to add on to it. We've got exciting news. Yes, Lizzie.
Yes, I thought that was an amazing information you were given about that tour. What will you experience at that tour that you're going to be going on?
We are going to go to three different fabulously famous and wonderful gardens, botanical gardens. We're going to go to Winterthur, we're going to go to Longwood, and we're going to go to Chanticleer. These are estate gardens and botanical gardens that are the most beautiful in the United States. But then also too, and I'm just going to announce it just a little bit, and I'll announce it again later on, the Philadelphia Flower Show was just announced on Thursday for June 2022, and it's happening right when we are in Philadelphia.
No way.
Yeah, so this is the longest running, oldest flower show in the United States, and we're going to offer a night, a day added on to our tour so that we can go to the Philadelphia Flower Show. So I am so excited, and I'll be talking a little bit more about it, and people can go to my website, she-consulting.com, Teresa Watkins, or just Google me. I'm everywhere. And Brandywine Garden Extravaganza Tour.
Now, if somebody wanted to email you, what questions about that tour or your venture?
They can email me at Teresa, T-E-R-E-S-A, .Watkins, @ live, like your plants, .com. Teresa.Watkins @ live.com, and I will respond and come with us. We're going to have a great time. Sally Cunningham and I, and Gwendy, she makes a great tour. So get your questions answered this morning. You can call me at 1-888-45-LAWNS or text 23680. If it's Saturday morning, you're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens, and this is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network. Welcome back to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins, and I'm here to answer your gardening questions, 1-888-455-2967, or you can text me at 23680. Lizzie will take your call and put you on the board, and you'll be ready to go. So this week it was announced that last week I was going to be taking a group to the Brandywine Valley in Philadelphia. It's a great tour. We're going to visit beautiful gardens. We're going to see museums and history. But then also, too, this week it was announced that the Philadelphia Flower Show, the longest and longest running and oldest flower show in the United States, is going to be held at the same time as we are going to be there. So this is definitely a must-go-see portion of the tour, and we're going to add on an extra day for that. So that's going to be June 13th through the 17th, and we're going to go to the Philadelphia Flower Show on the 12th. So it's a special opportunity to see America's garden capital and also America's premier garden show. So this is wonderful. Now, this year's theme is very apropos. In full bloom, this it's going to be held outdoors, and it's going to explore the restorative and healing power of nature and plants. This year's theme promotes good health and positive well-being and a passion for life. And so it's going to be gorgeous and a colorful spectacle. And if you'd like to have more information about the Brandywine Tour, because I'm not going to be talking about it probably just only for another month or so, and then it's going to be full. And so I won't need to be talking about it. But this is your chance to go. You can go to my website, she-consulting.com. And or you can just Google Teresa Watkins and Brandywine Garden Tour, and my link should come up. We're going to be joined by Sally Cunningham. She is an amazing garden expert, radio and TV, a celebrity in Philadelphia, and she's a lot of fun. So I know already that the people that are going are fun people because they've gone with me on tours before, and so we're going to have a great time. So now Alice called, and not called, she emailed. And well, she did call a couple of times, but she emailed. And she sent me a photo to teresa.watkins@live.com. And she said that her syngonium nephritis was not doing well. And was it being overwatered or underwatered? And the picture shows brown tips and a large brown area on several leaves. And, you know, I just can't diagnose that on the air without seeing it. So Alice, what you need to do is stick your finger in the pot. Now, if the pot is cool, moist, or damp, then you don't need to water. But it may be very dry, and so watering it, you're going to have to make sure those roots get soaked. The other thing is if you're overwatering it, then it's going to be more susceptible to disease. And so I would just, before you water it, stick your finger down to the second knuckle up, you know, closest to your hand, and see if the soil is cool, moist, or damp. And if it is, you don't need to water. All right? Then she sent me another picture of her croton, and it was all droopy, too. It looked very sad. It looked like basset hound ears. You know, the leaves just were just falling right straight down. So, again, I don't know what the soil conditions are or if you have drainage. Is it in the ground or in pots? So, again, make sure you have good drainage. If it's in the pots, you don't want plants soaking in water. And crotons don't need that much water. Again, stick your finger in the soil. If it's cool, moist, or damp, you don't need to water it. So check it out, the soil conditions. If you have not repotted it, then, you know, it may be a good time of the year to go ahead. It is a good time of the year to go ahead and freshen it up, put new soil in, and get it ready for wintertime. I do. Thank you. Okay, great. Is it too late to plant herbs for Thanksgiving dinner? No, it is not. This is great because I don't necessarily know if I would do seeds. It just depends on what herbs you'd be planting. But you can get transplants from the nursery or from the grocery store. You can get, they usually in the vegetable section, they have herbs for sale there, and you can go ahead and transplant those. Some seeds you can go ahead and plant your basil And I would go ahead and use a transplant for basil. But then oregano and thyme, you can go ahead and plant. And you should have a little bit of it. It just depends on how much you're going to need for cooking. And so I would definitely go with transplants this time of the year. And then next year in the springtime, you can plant them again. Or go ahead and plant some seeds now, and they'll be ready for your Christmas dinner. Okay, because I like to use turkey and roast beef at Christmas time, and so the herbs will go really well with that too as well. All right, thank you. That's a great text question, and we're going to be having more guests on that are going to be talking about herbs growing. So you're right at the right time for it. I just would be depending on the right kind of herbs. If you'd like to send me an email, I can send you more information about that. We have Jo Ellen Meyer Sharp. She's going to be coming on in the next hour, and she is going to be talking to us about how to create fall container gardens. And you have to see her container gardens. They are spectacular. And so she's going to be helping us with that. You can call us at 1-888-455-2967, or you can text me at 23680. So how many of you have gotten the mums, the chrysanthemums that they're seeing in the stores right now? And how do you select one to take home with you? Well, here's my secret, is that you want to make sure that you're buying the right color, okay? So if you can see one or two chrysanthemum pots that have the yellow or the orange or the burnt russet red, you'll know that that's the color you want and that's what color the blooms will be. Good. Then you can get that one, but buy one that doesn't have a lot of the blooms opened up. Okay, so you'll see 30 to 50 to even, depending on the size of the pot, 100 blooms, but they're all closed except for one or two that you see the color. And then that way you're going to take home a plant that's going to continue to bloom through, Thanksgiving, and you can enjoy it for the fall and the blooms won't start to die, immediately. So if you get one that's all completely flowered out, then those blooms are going to start to go down there. So make sure that you're buying a plant that doesn't have the blooms open up, unless you're having a party and then you want one that's all in full bloom, okay? We'll be getting to questions next break, after the break. So give us a call, 1-888-455-2967. Lizzie is bored. So you're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins, and this is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network. Welcome back to Better Lawns and Gardens. Thank you for staying with us. You can give me a call at 1-888-455-2967, or you can text me at 23680. So we had the text message for planting herbs for Thanksgiving. So what kind of herbs can you plant? Well, you can plant anise, laurel, borage, chives, coriander, and then also dill and lemon balm, lavender, Mexican tarragon. Oh, I love Mexican tarragon. Mint, parsley, rosemary, sage, sweet fennel, sweet marjoram, and thyme. So those are all great herbs you can plant. And also, too, the flowers you can be blooming, or that are blooming this month, alyssum. We're going to start seeing that in the nursery. And that likes a little bit cooler weather. So those of you in North Florida can get that now. But in South Florida, you're going to want to wait about another month to a month and a half before you get it. Wait till November. And then angelonias, ageratums, and then also black-eyed Susans and blue days. Then you can do the calendulas and camellias. The camellia shrubs I've been installing this last couple of weeks are all full of blooms. I can't wait to see all of these camellias blooming in the landscape. Then also chrysanthemums, coleuses, cornflower, dianthus, heliotrope, hollyhocks, and impatiens, geraniums, larkspur, leotris, marigolds, and then also petunias, salvias, snapdragons, sweet pea, verbena, and zinnias. And so those are wonderful flowers that you can get for your garden. Some of them are annuals. Chrysanthemums are perennial. So that, you know, don't throw them necessarily away. I like to put them out in the yard or keep them in pots and just put them to the side when they're not blooming in the springtime. Let them come back. But then you just kind of deadhead them, and then they will flush out again next fall. And, you know, you cut them back twice, you know, during the spring and summertime to keep them nice and dense. So chrysanthemums are not a throwaway. You can plant them in your yard, kind of like poinsettias. They will, you know, you can put them in the yard. Although, you know, just having a whole yard full of poinsettias year after year after year, I don't know if I would like that or not. What kind of vegetables can you be planting right now? Beets and broccoli, Brussels sprouts, all the cool kohl family vegetables for wintertime, cabbage and carrots and cauliflower, celery. You need celery for Thanksgiving, right? Because of your stuffing. And then collards and kohlrabi. Then also lettuce and mustard, onions and peas. You can do your potatoes. I've got those great potato bags. I've got to get started. And then radicchio. Or radicchio, however you like to pronounce it, radishes, and can grow rhubarb here. Does pretty much better in the North Florida area, but it can be grown in Central Florida. Then rutabagas. How many of you grew up eating rutabagas? We called them turnips. That's what my mom called them. Now, turnips are the white ones, but my mom would call them neeps, and she would call the orange rutabagas neeps. That was what she did. But we always used to have them in stew. And I love rutabagas. Oh, they're so good. Spinach and strawberries. Strawberry season is coming up. Swiss chard, and then also turnips as well. And I like to take my turnips and mash them with my potatoes. That just tastes so good. It makes a great Thanksgiving side dish. And just mash your turnips with your potatoes. Don't tell your children that they're eating turnips. And they'll eat it and they'll just love it. You know, my children love Brussels sprouts. And that's because we used to eat them when we were little. And I fed them to my children when they were little, and now they love them. So I have a text message that says, good morning, Teresa. Will macho ferns grow under trees? And then how far from the trunk should I plant them if I encircle the trunk? Is it too close to winter to start this? Thank you very much, Mark in Ocoee. And Mark, yes, macho ferns will grow under trees. And you want to plant them away, I would say, probably 3 to 6 feet away, because they will grow all the way up to the trunk. But I would give them a good start. Let them get a good root system in further away from the trunk. Don't plant them so close. They'll eventually make it to the trunk, but you don't have to plant them there. And then is it too close to winter to start this? No. Go ahead and plant them now. And they should be established. We've got about 3 months before a really cold frost hits Ocoee. So yeah, no, go ahead and do it now. Thank you for the text. And then we have my Hawaiian tie is losing its purple color. Could that be a fertilizer issue? No. Hawaiian ties, the color doesn't change on them. So there's another issue with it. So is it fading out or is it turning brown? I don't know how it's changing color. But I can tell you that Hawaiian ties, depending on the variety, have multiple colors in the leaves. So the foliage isn't all just one color. So if it's planted and it's doing well and the leaves are nice and hardy and it looks good, it's just changing color. I would say depends on the color. It's not going to change blue. It's not going to change to green, except for some varieties of Hawaiian ties. But it should stay the burgundy pinks and little cream colored, even dark, dark, dark browns. And, you know, that's normal for it. If it's changing to a light brown or getting looking like it's burned, or if it's fading out, then there may be another issue going on. Okay, so that's what I would have to check. Check the ground, make sure it's getting moisture, and then make sure it may, if you bought it at the store and it was a nursery plant that was indoors or under shade and you're putting it out in the full sun, it could get a little sunburned, but the new leaves should be fine. They'll be adapted to it. Okay, so it's not a fertilizer issue at all. Okay, so what can you be doing in your yard right now? Well, now's the time, end of September and the first part of October, to be fertilizing your lawn. Okay, fertilizing your lawn with a 1-0-1 ratio. Now, what I mean by that is that you want the first number and the third number on the bag to be the same with zero in the middle. Okay, turf does not need phosphorus, and that middle number is phosphorus. And so you do not need to put phosphorus down on turf. All right, there's no need to it. So why do we put phosphorus on our plants? Is to get them to bloom, to get them to have really good root growth and, grow flowers and fruit. Well, turf doesn't have flowers or fruit, all right? So you don't need to put phosphorus fertilizer on your turf. Now, do we need to do it at all in the state of Florida? Yeah, you do. Phosphorus is really, we have a lot in our soils. In fact, phosphorus mining, we have the fourth largest phosphorus supply in the country, but we don't need it on the turf. So you want 15% nitrogen and 15% potassium, 15-0-15, or a 16-0-4. That would be good for your turf too as well, 16-0-16. So just look at that. Now is a time to fertilize your lawns. Those of you who have had a fertilizer ban, couldn't do it because of the restrictions, you want to fertilize plants about 3 months before they actually need the nutrition. So when you're putting down a slow-release fertilizer, we don't know when the plants are going to absorb it, but 3 months gives them the time they need to say, oh, good, got to get that, and absorb it, have it in their system, and then they can handle stress a little bit easier. And we're coming into a stressful period with winter time. What I mean by that is that, you know, here in Florida, we're so blessed to have these sunshine days that are going to be in the 40s and 50s. That's our winter time. But we can go from 80 degrees one day in winter. Those of you from up north love those days. Those of Floridians like me who love the cold weather, we don't. But 80 degrees one day and then 35 degrees the next day. That's really stressful on plants. And so by fertilizing now, you don't have to put down another extra phosphorus application in the wintertime. And then you have your plants in the landscape have the nutrition they need to handle these stressful periods in the wintertime. All right? You can give us a call at 1-888-455-2967. And then you can text me at 23680. So we're going to do the lawn fertilizer. If you have weeds, and I was just at a yard yesterday that had a whole lot of weeds. And so this is something that you need to decide. If you use an herbicide on your weeds right now, the weeds are going to die. That's the good thing. But the other thing is that you're going to have bare spots when those weeds die. And you need to decide before you put that herbicide down, if you have large areas of weeds in your yard, are you going to sod right now? Because you cannot use seed if you have a Bahia lawn. You cannot use seed right now because it's not going to have time to get established before winter. Bahia grass needs 85 degree temperatures for about 6 to 10 weeks before it gets, you know, before you see it and it starts to get established. And so you don't want to put down Bahia seed right now. You're going to do that in the springtime. So if you're going to put down herbicide and your weeds are going to die, then you're going to have to think about plugging or sodding your yard now. And you can do that. You can do that any time of the year, but you don't want those bare spots there once the weeds are dead. So you can let them grow because they'll probably decline during the wintertime because these are summer annual weeds that we see a lot of right now. And so then you can then sod in the springtime, or then you can seed with Bahia if you have a Bahia lawn. All right. 1-888-455-2967, or you can text me at 23680. It's morning. It's waking up time. Give me a call. Lizzie is waiting and the air conditioner kicked in, so I'm good. Thank you so much. Stay tuned for the next hour. We have the incredible Jo Ellen Meyer Sharp coming on. She's going to be talking about fall gardens. You're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens, and this is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network.